This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steering, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Security National Bank with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. St. Louis Regional Airport in East Alton. Nokomis Tire and Auto Repair, a name you can trust. German Seed and Chemical LTD. Garrell's Auto Body in Litchfield, and by DC Waste and Recycling. And on this Saturday morning, we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Welcome to Sports Saturday, the final Saturday here in January. What in the world happened to the first month of 2017?
It went very quickly. We were on advanced time. Fast time is what we were on, okay?
Sure seemed like it. Hard to believe. A week from Monday, yeah. Girls postseason basketball will begin.
Yes, and then 2 weeks after that, it's boys basketball regionals. The season goes by quick.
Yes, it does. So we're spend a lot of time today talking about girls postseason as the pairings were announced yesterday. We want to start, though, with bowling.
Yes, Ryan Robinson from Hillsboro, our lone representative from our WSMI listening area. Ryan is competing as an individual for representing the Hilltoppers in the bowling state tournament at O'Fallon today. So good luck to Ryan. And he won the regional as an individual and then advanced to sectional and qualified for state. So good luck today to Ryan Robinson from Hillsboro High School. Wouldn't it be neat to have a bowling champ?
It would be really cool to have a bowling champ.
We'd have to have Prangle on the sports show because he's the bowling dude.
That's right. He knows all about that.
Rick Rutherford. We have to get Rick Rutherford in here.
Now, do you think the high school bowlers have the same type of flair that the professional bowlers have with the sunglasses and all the gyrations and different things?
I bet not.
1970s mustaches.
Where is Pete Weber? Where is he?
Alligator shoes. You know? Probably don't wear those anymore.
I would think not.
Probably not.
But that is neat, though, so yeah, good luck to Mr. Robinson today.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So good luck, no matter how things end up, maybe we'll get Ryan out here one Saturday and talk bowling. Something we don't talk about
much.
Very
cool.
Yeah, it would be. Would be very, very neat. So we had some basketball around the area last night. Kind of get caught up on some of the scores here in boys basketball in a game we had on WSMI FM 106. Hillsboro beat Greenville 53-45 to avenge a loss about a week ago at the Litchfield Invitational Tournament, about a 10-point loss to the Comets. But the Toppers win last night, 53-45. Nokomis beat Staunton 57-28. The interesting thing about that game is that Staunton had 9 three-pointers and a free throw, and that was it. No 2-point field goals last night. They were 9 of 19 from the three-point arc, but Nokomis wins at 57-28.
Do you ever remember seeing that?
Never. Never.
That is odd.
I can remember a time or two where I've had a ball game where we've had no free throw shot.
Sure.
But I don't ever remember not seeing a, not hearing about a no 2-point field goals.
No 2-point field goals.
that's weird. Just weird. Roxana beat Carlinville 47-45. It was Bunker Hill 63, McGivney 26. Pena beat Carlisle 57-52. Pawnee over Edinburgh 47-28. At the Coaches versus Cancer Tournament at Auburn, North Mac beat Calvary 62-57. Franklin South County over Hartsburg Emden 57-48. And Springfield Lutheran beat Auburn 61-57. Also, on the sports docket today, we'll get to the basketball here in just a moment, the Litchfield Invitational Wrestling Tournament with about, like 900 teams. not quite 900.
Is that the Lovelet, Rich Lovelet Invitational?
Yes, yeah. But there's a ton of teams competing today at the tournament. I had them all written down here, and of course I've lost them.
Of course, congratulations to Litchfield Wrestling. They won their senior night match over Mount Zion earlier this week.
So at the Litchfield Invitation, you have Carlinville, Hillsboro, Mount Olive, Auburn, Roxana, Vandalia, Carlisle, Pinckneyville, Taylorville, West Frankfort, Anna Jonesboro, Lena Winslow, Orion, and Harrisburg.
other than
coming. That's like a miniature state tournament.
Yeah. That is representation from all over the state there.
Yeah, that's like it's
one of the premier wrestling tournaments. Yeah.
And that's at Simmons Gymnasium today. So
they beat Mount Vernon the other night, not Mount Zion. Mount Vernon. Senior night.
I don't think Mount Zion has wrestling.
No wrestling for Mount Zion?
I don't think so. I don't think so. They might have, but I don't think so. All right, what do we have on the docket for tonight? Well, we have girls basketball.
A little bit of a matchup there.
Yeah, just a little bit of a matchup. And the interesting thing about it is whoever wins is tied for as a co-champion of the South Central Conference.
Yeah, Greenville's already claimed their portion of the championship, only once beaten in the conference, which was to Carlinville, of course. And then Litchfield and Hillsborough both with one loss right now. So whichever team wins out, or if one of them does win out, they'll be co-champions.
So there you go. Litchfield at Hillsborough, 7:30 tonight, live on WSMI FM 106. We'll stream that game online at WSMIRadio.com. This afternoon, Nokomis entertains East Altonwood River, Pittsfield at North Mac, Gillespie at Pena. The Carrollton tournament wraps up. This is a good in-season tournament right ahead of the postseason. And the Consolation Championship, Marquette takes on Quincy Notre Dame. Fifth place game has Granite City and Brussels. These are good teams up and down the line. Third place game, West Central against Calhoun, and undefeated Lebanon takes on Civic Memorial for the championship this afternoon at Carrollton.
Small school, big school mix there.
That's a good mix. It's kind of like the Litchfield Invitational Tournament. Boys basketball tonight, Lincolnwood at Staunton, Carlinville at Pena, and East Altonwood River at Nokomis.
You mentioned, you know, Calhoun and that Carrollton tournament. Of course, they've played in the Alton tournament early in the year. Yeah. They go over to Jerseyville at the holidays. And you think about those types of games, those types of teams, bigger schools that they've played, helps them in the last couple of years as they made, of course, their state championship run last year, state runner-up the year prior. Toughen up that schedule. Take some lumps early, and it will benefit you in the postseason. Always does.
And it doesn't make any difference what level of athleticism you have on your team. Just by virtue of the fact you see teams like that early in the season and even late in the season for that matter, it only strengthens you going into the postseason. Those are the kind of teams you want to play going into the postseason. You don't want to play the teams where you tend to let down. I don't, at least in my opinion. I always thought that, a good tough game right before the postseason, and no matter the sport, is always good for you.
Look at the Lady Toppers. Even though they finished, 2-2 at the Highland Tournament, they're a better team coming out of that tournament than they were going in just because of the competition and the teams that they faced.
Sure. They got into the Consolation Championship game, for goodness sakes. And, that's...
Sammy Matush, the first all-tournament team performer over there since somebody named Hope Schulte.
Hope Schulte.
She was kind of good.
Yeah. She was kind of good.
Yeah.
She was real good. She could be on my team.
Yeah, we'll take her.
Yeah.
We'll take our chances.
Sammy Matush went over the 1,000-point mark in her sophomore year. So she's building quite a career at Hillsborough High School.
She's probably, if everything, she stays healthy and everything continues on as it has, she's going to wind up scoring more points than Abby Brockman.
Well, yeah. it's a distinct possibility. And again, as you say, things have to fall into place, and certainly good health is always a thing that you wish for our young athletes. So, by the way, we also have, along with everything else, eighth grade boys basketball regionals getting underway today. And in some 1A quarterfinals at Mulberry Grove, Sereno takes on Mulberry Grove, and Pena Sacred Heart plays Lovejoy. In the 2A quarterfinals at Greenfield, they'll play quarterfinals and then semis on the same day today. Game one has Jerseyville, St. Francis, Holy Ghost against Madison. They just need to add a few more names to that jersey.
Some of these junior high schools get a bit wordy.
Oh, yeah. Bunker Hill takes on Carrollton in game two. Winchester will take on the winner of game one, and if Bunker Hill wins game two, they'll play Greenfield in the second game in the semifinals. At Assumption today, it'll be three games in the quarterfinals, Central A&M against Pawnee, Nokomis against Decatur Holy Family, and South Fork against Morrisonville. In the 3A quarters at Vandalia, Staunton against Wood River Lewis and Clark, and the Roxana against East Alton. At North Mac at Girard, three quarterfinal round games, Southwestern versus Pena, Auburn takes on Carlinville, Gillespie takes on Litchfield, and in 4A, Hillsborough plays the first quarterfinal round game against Cahokia Worth. If they win, they'll play East St. Louis Lincoln in the first semifinal.
Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Play East St. Louis in your second game of the day.
Yeah, in the second game of the day.
And apparently East St. Louis has like two or three kids that are 6 foot tall.
At least 6 foot tall.
In eighth grade.
Yeah. Boy. They're always a challenge.
And how about Hillsborough going 4A? I guess about 10 or 11 kids apparently is what put them over.
Yeah.
Into 4A.
That's, you know, they divide them up, make every class equal. That's about the best
you can
do.
Should have some kids playing hooky on an enrollment day. But I don't know where they're at. They're not here.
Well, the public schools don't do that.
No. Never happened. Such a thing would never fly.
Manipulating.
What?
Manipulating the number of students?
No. No. Hey, since we were on the air
lie about it.
That's been known to happen. Since last week, of course, congratulations to the Mount Olive Lady Wildcats claiming their first ever Macoupin County Championship. Southwestern won the boys tournament, but for Mount Olive, when good chance they won't even have a team next year for a variety of different reasons. Congratulations to them for claiming their first county title in impressive fashion.
And Mount Zion won their first ever title at the Litchfield Invitational Tournament. A very good team. So,
and they were the top seed going in.
They were the top seed going in. Indeed, they were. And
all in all, it was a really good week of tournament basketball last week.
You know, at the Litchfield Tournament, the top four seeds were in the Final Four. And that meant the coaches did their jobs properly and seated the teams properly, and it turned out to be a really good tournament.
Actually, everybody went to where they were supposed
to. Just about, and I think everybody, technically speaking, concerning upsets, there were only, two or three upsets as far as seedings are concerned. So
Litchfield beat Roxana in the ninth place semifinals. Yeah. That would have been an upset because Roxana was nine. Metro East Lutheran was an eight seed. They beat Hillsborough in the fifth place semi, so that would have been another upset.
So, but other than that, everything pretty much according to Hoyle. So.
Yeah, same thing at the Macoupin County tournament.
The Macoupin tournament was balanced this year.
Oh, it was. That boys tournament, you know, probably no great teams, but a lot of good teams.
Yeah.
Southwestern, North Mac, of course, and then Gillespie, Bunker Hill, you know, all quality clubs. That was a wide open tournament. That was a good basketball tournament.
Yeah, yeah. The 99th edition of the Macoupin County tournament. Still, though, probably the most exciting night of the semifinal night. As good as any night. If you get the true semis now with the pool points.
Well, I was thinking about that last week, of course, because Nick Sloman now coaches the Lady Panthers for North Mac, but I was thinking back to a number of years ago when that county tournament was at Bunker Hill, when they played Bunker Hill on that Friday night, double overtime. What a ball game that was.
That's probably my favorite night of Macoupin County tournament basketball. Place was packed. Literally, you couldn't move in the gymnasium. There was no more room that night. We were packed on the stage. And the double overtime, God, it was great.
That's right. They made sure the fire marshal had somewhere else to go that night. You go over there.
Hey, we got a ticket to go. We'll go see a concert.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
There you go. Hey,
free tickets.
Hey, thanks a lot. Hey, no problem.
Of course, the 100th county will be at North Mac High, so that'll be.
Yeah.
In some ways, I think kind of fitting that the 100th Macoupin County tournament will be at a consolidated school.
So, and the one question I've got more than any of them, what happens after the 100th Macoupin County tournament?
Good question.
Well, I guess there'll be a number 101. I don't know. That's what I assume. So,
I don't know. With Mount Olive's funding issues, if you lose Mount Olive and you get down to six, you're going to have to do something.
You know, could they go to a Macoupin County Classic where maybe they invite a couple of teams from outside the county? And I don't know. It's not up to me. It's above my pay grade.
We don't have to worry about it.
We don't have to worry about
it. We'll just open and do the games.
That's right.
You tell us when you're playing. We'll be there.
We get the easy part, you know. We really do. And by the way, thanks to all the volunteers who helped out running these tournaments. And the volunteers all season long, because, you know, you got to have people to run the clock, you got to have people take tickets, you got to have people to help run the concession stands, just take volunteers from the community to put all these things on. And without them, you can't do it. So
doesn't work too good without the volunteers.
No, it doesn't. It just doesn't. And great hosts, again, our schools around here are just fantastic.
Yes.
At hosting tournaments and being great hosts. They really, really are.
Carmelville will be hosting girls and boys regional tournaments coming up in just a few weeks. We need to get to a break. When we come back, we'll start talking about the girls regionals. The matchups are out. We'll talk about that following these messages on Sports Saturday.
9:20 on this Saturday morning. Now we go back to Sports Saturday and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote. Saturday morning.
We're going back a few centuries. On this Saturday morning, at the end of January. It's a beautiful morning.
It's a fortnight.
Heretofore.
What's a fortnight when they talk about it at Wimbledon? I don't know what that means.
What is that? That's like
the day off?
That's the day off, yeah.
Okay.
That'll be coming up. I mean, obviously not soon, but it'll be coming up before you know it.
Wimbledon. Speaking of tennis, real quickly, of course, the Australian Open today. I guess Serena beat Venus in the championship, and she passed Steffi Graf for the most championships.
23rd. So dominant. Rewrote the book on women's tennis.
Rewrote the book on women's athletics.
Yeah, she did.
That's right. Yeah, she's
probably the most dominant female athlete. Period.
And she spent a good amount of her career hurt, too.
Yes.
Think of what she would have been healthy.
That's terrifying.
It is.
Her opponents don't want to think about that, but she's been injured?
Yes,
oh, my. And how many times has she played hurt and still won?
Exactly.
Right?
A lot.
That's the impressive thing. So.
Yeah, tennis is supposed to be a young person's sport. Not so much anymore.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Nobody will be shedding tears when the Williams sisters decide to retire.
No, throw them a big party. Big party.
Yeah.
Why didn't you do this 10 years ago?
You gotta be in pretty good shape to play tennis. Yeah.
Kind of an endurance sport.
Pretty physically demanding.
Yeah. No matter what sport you participate in, when you play at a high level, professional level like that, you better be in shape.
Yeah.
And you better be, you know, relatively healthy because they will exploit your weaknesses.
Absolutely. So a week from Monday, girls basketball will begin regional play. And, of course, we're going to have all sorts of coverage from a variety of different regionals. We're going to start right now focusing on what is the Class 2A Waverly sectional. We won't get into why Waverly has a 2A sectional. That's neither here nor there. Get there early when you're going over to that sectional if you want a seat. But the Carthenville and Auburn regionals will both be feeding in to that Waverly sectional, and we've got a lot of our area teams involved in those two regional tournaments.
At Carthenville, the overall number one seed in this portion of the subsectional A, I guess it would be this one, it would be Tri-City, Buffalo Tri-City.
Undefeated,
still going strong, legitimate number one seed. Also, in the bye bracket, they get a first-round bye. Carlinville, the number four seed, gets a first-round bye as well. And you got to remember, in these subsectionals, they split up. There's about 22, 23 teams in each subsectional, and they'll try to split them up amongst four different regionals. So you get some odd seedings playing each other sometimes.
They make sure that 1 and 4 are in the same regional, 2 and 3 in the same regional. Then after that, they try to go more by geography.
More geography.
Try to.
So on Monday night at Carlinville on February 6th, Pittsfield will take on Southwestern. That'll be a 6-7. And at 7:30, Gillespie will take on Staunton. That's a 5-11. The winner of the Pittsfield-Southwestern game gets Tri-City on Wednesday night, the 8th. Carlinville will get the winner of the Gillespie-Staunton game at 7:30 on Wednesday night. Championship game is set for Thursday at 7.
Southwestern and Staunton both playing much better basketball here at the end of the year than they did at the start.
Didn't we say on this show at the beginning of the season that by the end of the year, there's going to be a few teams out there you don't want to see in postseason? And I know for sure Southwestern was one of them.
They're all on that list, absolutely.
And Staunton's much improved.
Beat Painter the other night.
Yeah, how about that? So, at the Auburn Regional, Hillsboro was the higher seed, so they get an opening round bye, and they won't see any action until Tuesday the 7th. One game on Monday night the 6th will have Riverton taking on Waverly South County. That'll be a matchup of 9-10. Hillsboro with the number 2 seed will get the winner of that game, Riverton versus Waverly South County. And then at 7:30 on Tuesday night, Auburn will take on North Mac. Auburn, a very good team, but North Mac has been coming on strong lately. So,
They played right with Mount Olive for the whole first half at the county tournament last
night. So that Auburn regional, you know, two really good regionals, Carlinville and Auburn. The other two regionals that feed into this Waverly sectional, the Camp Point Central Regional has Camp Point Central as the number one seed. They will get the winner of Rushville Industry in Beardstown, and then Williamsville takes on Hamilton in the second semifinal. At Athens, Illini West out of Carthage is the number two seed in that subsectional. They'll get an opening round bye along with third seed Havana. Midwest Central takes on Plains on Monday night. In the first game, the winner gets Carthage, Illini West, and then Athens and Porta. In the second game, the winner gets Havana on Wednesday night. So that's how that Waverly sectional regional sets up.
And I know, Terry, we've talked about this before. You're a bit old school in the standpoint. You like the classic neighborhood regional format. You prefer that, which I can't argue with you. But for me personally, I like these subsectionals because, I mean, the teams you just listed off.
Yeah.
The sectional tournament is going to be fabulous.
Well, the only thing that the neighborhood sectionals would allow, generally better crowds because you have local rivalries. And really, that's the only advantage. The subsectionals work much, much better to funnel the better teams toward the sectional tournament. I give you that, and I understand completely why they do it. So, you know, it's not that I dislike them. I kind of miss the old neighborhood regionals, but you know, this works out very well. And if you go back over the last couple years, you see that the subsectional setup has worked very well for high school sports. Whenever they use it, no matter what sport they use it in.
Yeah, it gets the best teams
to where they need to go.
That's right. For the last few years, the Hillsborough Lady Hilltoppers have been one of those teams, or expected to be one of those squads again this year. And joining us on the phone right now is their head coach, Brett Teekin. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good. Good morning.
Well, we'll get into your squad in a moment, but you're at a freshman tournament right now, correct?
Yeah.
How's that going?
Yep, we've got a freshman tournament going. It's started, and things are going good so far.
I think I'm curious from a coaching perspective. Now, when you're watching, say you're watching a freshman girls game, what are you looking for as a varsity coach from the players on the floor?
Just looking to see if they have the fundamentals down, knowing what they're supposed to be doing, where they need to be defensively and help side, and doing the little things like boxing out and then just seeing who can shoot and who can handle the ball a little bit and what we might have coming up to help us out next year.
You'll have some players that'll be better defensively than offensively, and you know that, and you can work them into certain schemes on down the line.
Uh-huh. Definitely. Not everybody's equal in any way, and sometimes you got, like you said, better defensive players and they know where to be and handle that well, but they're not a real good ball handler or don't shoot the ball well, but there's still a place for them.
Teek, do you ever see, when you're watching a freshman game and you see a player out there and you know maybe they've got an older sibling that maybe has, you know, is a tall player, do you ever hope that, well, hey, maybe they're gonna put on grow a few inches here and we'll be able to use them?
Oh yeah, you see, well, they got some nice skills to post, but it'd be nice if they're about 3 inches taller. Maybe they still got that in them somewhere, or like you said, if they had an older sibling that played here, and you're kind of like, well, maybe she can work with her a little bit.
Of course, Sammy Matouche is different in the standpoint. She never played freshman ball. She went straight to the varsity level and was dominating as a freshman, already over the 1,000-point mark. As you coach Sammy over these last couple of years, Brett, do you find yourself at times just in awe of her skill set?
She's the best shooter I've ever had. It's just you watch her shooting, it's almost like at times it's a surprise when she doesn't make one. And whenever she gets to the free throw line, you just have that expectation that, well, we can count on those points and stuff. Her ability to put the ball in the hole has been pretty amazing.
And I'm going to go back to the eighth grade state tournament championship when the Dragons were playing, and that championship game, the two point guards, Sammy being one of them, just totally dominated that game, and that was one of the more fun games I've ever remember watching with the point guards running the show back in that junior high eighth grade championship game.
Yeah, guard play is so important. Sometimes it can get overlooked a little bit and stuff, but if you have somebody that can score from the point position and then also dish the ball and stuff like that, controlling the ball and not turn it over is really important. And she doesn't always play the point for us and stuff, but she's got the ball in her hands a lot, obviously, and there's just not a lot of turnovers there either, and that's a great attribute to have.
Teek, when you got guards, you can win, can't you?
Yes, you can. Guard play. I mean, it's nice to have big post players, but still, give me a couple good guards that control the ball and can shoot, and I'll take my chances.
Yeah,
you got a nice mix of both this year for your topper squad. Big game tonight, the Route 16 rivalry with Litchfield. It'll be at your gymnasium this evening. And when it comes to Hillsborough and Litchfield, you never want to lose to your rivals twice in a year.
No. It gives a little extra incentive coming into the second one. This one also ends up being the conference game this year, and both of us are still holding on to hope that we can share the conference with Greenville. So, yeah, there's a lot riding on the game tonight.
Everybody healthy at this point, Teague?
Pretty much. Maddie Andre's got a little bit of a banged up knee. She's been trying to work through it a little bit, so we'll see about. She wasn't able to play Thursday night at Paisal, which shortens our bench just a little bit and stuff. But she's going to give it a shot tonight, and we'll see how she can go.
Of course, everybody's a little banged up by this time of year, I think. So.
Yeah, you've been going at it pretty hard for a long time, and you want to compete in practice too. So whether it's practice or whether it's a game, you've been banging with a lot of bodies out there for quite a while now.
Brett Teakin, the head coach of the Hillsborough Lady Hilltoppers, joining us here on Sports Saturday. And Teak, not to give away any sort of state secrets or anything like that, but when you go up against a player like Abby Brockmeyer, such a great individual talent, do you go in with the philosophy of just trying to contain her and make the other girls beat you, or do you have a different philosophy than that?
Well, if you go in with that, you open yourself up to somebody like a Val Furlong hitting a few threes on you or something like that. You gotta try to contain somebody like that and hold them down a little bit, but you also gotta play defense on everybody else or they'll sneak up and get you too.
Well, the regional seedings and pairings are out, and once again, Auburn is in your regional, but the difference this year is if you meet Auburn in the regional, it's on their floor.
Yeah. And whenever we saw the subsectionals, we were like, well, I didn't know a lot about Buffalo Tri-City at that time, and then I got a chance to go see them play and watch what they've been doing and stuff, and they're a very good team, and we were just kind of like, well, two of the three, and Carlinville's been playing really well the second half of the year here and stuff, and you're going to have to go through somebody somewhere, so it really doesn't matter all that much. Well, if you're going to advance, you got to beat them sometime.
I think you've played Auburn maybe five times in the last 2 years, and I think they've all been like one-possession games, it seems like.
Yeah, they've been pretty tight all the way along. They've been great games. We've been able to be fortunate enough to be on top of them and stuff. But, they've been really tight, every single one of them.
Survive in advance. Survive in advance.
Yeah, that's what you gotta hope for. Yeah.
And you mentioned you saw Tri-City. What did you see out of them?
Oh, they've got a 6'2" girl that runs the floor really well. She's very athletic. They've got another 5'11", 6-foot girl that helps bring the ball up the floor and can shoot, and a little freshman guard that's a really good player. They're a very solid team.
Teak, as you look at your topper squad now, getting about a week away from region of play, how would you assess your season so far? You've had some ups and some downs.
Yeah, we ran through a little bit of a stretch in kind of mid late December where we didn't play really well. Other than that little stretch, I've been very pleased with what we've done. At times we have to work a little bit harder at rebounding and boxing out a little bit and stuff. But other than that, we've been pretty pleased with where we're at this year.
But coaches always say they need to box out and rebound more.
True, I think that's just part of it.
Teak, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. Good luck tonight.
All right, thanks for everything.
Brett Teak, the head coach of the Hillsborough Lady Hilltoppers in Litchfield, Hillsborough. Always fun. I asked Teak last night, I said, what happened in the first matchup? The answer was short. We shot 28%.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. They couldn't hit the broadside of a barn for a long stretch, yeah. And that takes its toll, and, you know, you get them on their home floor now, and this is the conference game. So this is the one that tends to, I don't know, maybe put a little more intensity in. I don't know that you ever get more intensity, though, with Litchfield Hillsborough.
Intensity maybe not, but there's certainly more riding
more
on the ballgame.
Yes.
Yeah,
more at stake, yeah. So it should be a great matchup tonight, and usually a great crowd for Litchfield Hillsborough on these Saturday night games. I love the fact that in January they play in Litchfield and in February they play in or in December they play in Litchfield, and January they play in Hillsborough, and those Saturday night matchups are just terrific for girls basketball. So
good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. Looking forward to it tonight, 7:30 right here on FM 106.
Of course, Litchfield, they've got 2 weeks until their regional starts in class 3A.
Yeah.
Those will be out next week.
Next weekend, yeah. Next Saturday morning we'll have the regional pairings for 3A and 4A, and Litchfield will see, it's either going to be Taylorville or what was the other place? I can't remember now.
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, okay. That'd be one of the two spots they go to for regional play. So.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we'll talk about girls 1A regional tournaments following these messages.
9:38 on this Saturday morning, and we're back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Toth.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. And T, you've done a lot of high school broadcasts over the year. I would venture to guess not many of them went three overtimes.
Not many of them. Not many of them at all. Actually, I think I did a five overtime game when I was in college. It was crazy because, you know, you run out of room to write stuff, right? you're grabbing any loose paper trying to keep score. But yeah, the Pawnee Lincolnwood game went into three overtimes the other night. And, it was just a great MSM conference matchup, two rivals. And next year, Lincolnwood and Pawnee, Lincolnwood's going to co-op, with Pawnee for high school football and girls basketball. So, instead of Litchfield, they'll be going to Pawnee, and so, you know, a little connection there, but great crowd, you know, Pawnee and Lincolnwood, just, you know, neighbors basically in the school districts, and always a pretty good battle. So
good week for the Lancers, triple overtime,
yeah.
Beating the Comets.
Yeah, yeah. So they're maybe peaking at the right time here, huh?
Just might be.
Yeah.
Just
so,
might be.
You know, and that's the thing, you know, you heard Coach Teakin say, there was a spot there in December. They kind of hit a lull. You know, every basketball team does that. They have a spot for a week or two where they just, things just don't click quite right. The fact of the matter is you've got to get peaking at the right time.
These are still kids.
Yeah, they're still kids. And you know, but you see it in the professionals.
Yeah.
You see it at the professional level. You know, you could have, just because you have the best record in the regular season doesn't mean you've peaked at the right time going into the playoffs. How many times did the team with the best record in a sport not win the championship? That's frequently.
It happens a lot.
Yeah, it happens a lot. So it's about peaking at the right time. And records don't mean a darn thing. It's the level of competition you play and how you prepare mentally to face your opponents once you get into the postseason. So, do you have the game face on? You know, you got to have that game face on. Take no prisoners.
Yes. And Mount Olive might have found that a little bit with the seedings, only twice beaten, but they got seeded third in their subsectional. Oakville, I think they might be like 18-6, somewhere around there, but their schedule, their level of competition, several rungs above Mount Olive.
You know, Oakville plays the 2A's and the 3A schools frequently. It's a brutal schedule that Oakville has played.
Is it Oakville or Oakville? I hear it both ways.
Both ways.
Go either way.
I just kind of, Oakville, you know, I sometimes say it Oakville, but Oakville is fine. Yeah.
I've heard it both ways an equal number of times.
So at the...
How do the locals say it? It's like Lewiston, Lewistown.
I don't know.
It's Lewiston.
Lewiston.
That's how the locals say it.
There Lewiston. You go. It's however the locals say it is how it's said.
Yeah. Benelde.
Benelde?
No, Benelde.
Gillespie, Gillespie. Athens, Athens.
No, Gillespie. That's Gillispie.
Gillispie.
How do the locals say it? Anyway, but that's a whole other subject for another time.
Sorry, we digress.
We could get off of Mount Olive, Mount Olive.
Right.
You know. Anyway, the Wildcats, you're right, Tim, they are a number three seed at the Valmeyer Regional. Oakville gets the number one, the overall number two seed, but the top seed in this regional. So they will get the winner of the Valmeyer O'Fallon First Baptist Academy game, which will be played on Monday night. Oakville gets them at 6 o'clock on Tuesday night the 7th, and Mount Olive gets 6th-seeded Waterloo-Jabot in the semifinal. That it will not be an easy game because Jabot plays a pretty good schedule as well. In the Madison Regional Tournament, which is one of those regionals that feed into the Calhoun Sectional, Bunker Hill has an opening night game against McGivney. And that's a 7 o'clock game on Monday the 6th. And should they win, they would get top-seeded Lebanon, who at this point is still undefeated and the top-ranked team in the state of Illinois.
Have been all year.
And have been all year long. And Lebanon's playing for the championship at the Carrollton Tournament today against Civic Memorial. So, you know, that's a packed, couple of packed regionals. And, you know, when you start talking the Calhoun sectional, well, heck, you got to talk Calhoun, you know, and Winchester West Central.
Potentially the strongest sectional in the state.
I think
potentially.
I think so. In Class 1A, yeah. I dare you to show me a sectional that's stronger.
If you wind up having the number one ranked team in Lebanon, who's still undefeated, the defending champions who still have Grace Ballman in Calhoun, Mount Olive, who's been powerful
all year long,
West Central.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you show me four better teams in a sectional and
I'd
like to see it.
I defy you to show me a better sectional because I don't think there's one in the state. That is a packed powerhouse sectional. And the team that comes out of that sectional will probably do very well at the state tournament.
I would have to agree with that.
So, you know, there are certain sectionals that we see throughout the years. And when you come through that sectional, they're going to fare well. They may not always win it, but they're generally going to put on a pretty good show.
They're going to be tested.
They're going to be tested, and more often than not, they survive.
And you'll be fed well over there too.
Yeah,
best hospitality rooms in the state. You won't find a better hospitality room.
They're although the Litchfield Invitational Tournament hospitality room was pretty darn good.
They can maybe tie for first, but it can't pass Calhoun.
Calhoun,
it's impossible.
Calhoun probably has more. Variety.
It's like a smorgasbord in there. They're sending me home with full pies after the game, for goodness sake. I just wanted a bottle of water and give me pies.
Well, see, at Calhoun, they want you to come early to eat.
Yeah.
And then after the game, you have to stay and eat.
That's right.
That's how it is over there.
Don't want you to starve. Don't starve.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not a problem over there.
Yeah. And then the next day you go back and go, it's a whole new selection. Yeah. It's like, well, we've changed the entire menu.
All homemade.
All homemade. It's great.
And
like I said, they're really good hosts. They really run a nice tournament. Nokomis gets sent east again. Nokomis will take on South Fork in their opening round game on Monday, February 6th. Nokomis, a 7 seed, South Fork an 11th seed. They'll be the second game that night in Bethany. Beecher City Cowden Herrick will take on Pawnee in the first game at 6, followed by Nokomis against South Fork. If Nokomis wins, they would get third-seeded Bethany-Ocaw Valley in the Wednesday night game at 7:30. So
there's your Ocaw Valley.
Okay, there. Right.
That's Ocaw Valley.
Ocaw Valley.
Versus Oakville.
Yeah, not Ocaw Valley. I sometimes get those two schools mixed up, Ocaw Valley and Oakville.
Yeah.
I get a lot more than that mixed up, too.
Yeah, I do, too. But that's a really obvious one right now, since we're talking about it.
Yeah, you know, I'm still writing 2015 on my checks instead of 2016. Yeah.
Just skipped over 16 entirely? Just start writing 2018 now, and you'll be ready for next year.
Yeah, I'm just keep the checkbook away from me. That's the best thing.
Refuse to acknowledge that it happened.
Yeah. And other regionals that feed into the Arcola sectional at Effingham, St. Anthony. St. Anthony is the number two seed in that subsectional, the top seed at their home regional. They get the winner of Dietrich and Palestine. Altamont is the number three seed overall. They get the winner of Oblong Ramsey on Wednesday night the 8th. The overall top seed in that subsectional A at the Sandoval Regional, it's Christar Rock Lutheran out of Centralia. They'll get the winner of Sandoval, South Central, and then North Clay takes on Brownstown. So those are your other two regionals that feed into Arcola, along with Martinsville, where Hume Shiloh, who is state-ranked, is the top seed there. So
there you go.
Yeah. Regional
week for Monday.
Time. Week for Monday we start.
It's flown by.
The thing about high school basketball, when you have multiple games a week, it keeps you very busy and keeps you on the go, and time does fly a lot. It really, and we've had a lot of close games this year.
Oh, yeah. Good keeps game. Us off the streets.
Oh, well, that's very important.
9:49 on this Saturday morning, we return to Sports Saturday and join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Fighting Illini basketball this afternoon from Penn State, live at 2:30. On 105.3 The Ox, and we'll see if the Illini actually show up for a road game today.
No,
probably not.
Haven't won one all year.
Mm. Brutal.
Yeah.
But somehow they beat NC State.
At home.
Right. And then NC State beats Duke. So, there's only one logical
conclusion
yourself to draw. Illinois is better than Duke. The only logical conclusion one could draw from that set
you'll
of
drive circumstances. Drive yourself crazy with that.
The question, the question is John Gross going to be the coach next year? And I'm beginning to think that's probably not going to happen.
Better win a road game.
I still think he's got a chance at finishing 500 in the Big Ten record with the remaining schedule.
I don't.
He's got Penn State twice coming up, including tonight. He's got Nebraska twice. He's got Rutgers, I think, twice. So that's going to help out a lot.
Yeah, but what has Illinois done over the last, say, 5 years that gives you confidence they'll beat those teams?
Yeah,
those teams are really bad.
So is Illinois.
I know, but they're not.
Illinois
is
not really
bad. They're not as bad as those teams.
Illinois is endlessly frustrating. Yes, is what they are.
There you go. That's a great term. Endlessly frustrating.
They've also got Northwestern.
There are nights that they look for 15 minutes during the game like world beaters, and then they just disappear.
For long stretches. They just go
away. They'll go 15 minutes without even not scoring, hardly getting a shot, a clean look.
Yeah. Like that home game against Maryland.
Yeah.
What happened? 30 minutes, you look fantastic. 10 minutes, see you later.
Yeah.
That's been a problem since Gross took over. Maybe even before Gross took over, where they've choked away leads.
Yeah.
I don't know what the solution
and
is.
It's hard to win. It's hard to win in big time college basketball, but
basketball is a game of run.
It is.
It is where it's all about momentum and but playing in at that level in the Big Ten Conference, it's tough.
It's always good to beat the idiots out wandering around, though. Always good. Always good to beat Iowa.
Okay, I was wondering where you were going with that.
Yeah.
Never heard of them called that before.
Oh, you never heard that before?
No, I have not.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Oh yes, idiots out wandering around.
All right.
I-O-W-A.
Yeah, I got it after he said I-O, but I didn't know what he was talking about.
Hey, let's talk about the South Central Conference standings on the boys' side. Yeah. We still got a pretty good race there. Southwestern's at the top of the league right now, undefeated, but they've got several teams right on their heels.
Greenville's right on their heels. Comets are 4-1.
4-2 now.
4-2 in conference play after their loss last night to Hillsborough. And Vandalia Gillespie still kind of in the middle of things as well. So, but really Southwestern, kind of the leader of the pack right here, and should be. I mean, we expected them to be pretty darn good this year, and they've showed themselves to be good.
Hillsborough still has Southwestern on the schedule, so the Toppers still have an outside chance at some sort of conference championship if someone can clip Southwestern and give them one loss headed into that Topper game.
Yeah, yeah.
Gets real interesting.
You know, got to have some help.
You do.
You're mathematically still in it, but you got to have some help along the way.
And after seeing Southwestern play last week at the Macoupin County Tournament, very impressed with Jason Darris, Pius Allbirds. Very solid club this year. Baumgartner, Bailey, that's as good of an inside-out combination as we have in the area.
They just don't turn the ball over very much, do they?
Hard to beat.
Yeah.
Hard to beat. They play, they'll play pressure defense. And that really was one of the differences in that county championship win over North Mac was they basically pressured North Mac so far out on the floor, the Panthers just couldn't get into their offensive set.
They probably pressured them right at midcourt.
Yeah.
As soon as they stepped to the midcourt line, there was somebody in their face the whole time. So, yeah, you can't get your offense going.
No.
I mean, normally it takes you a couple, three steps to get you in the front court and you get things rolling. But when you're disrupted from the stripe, it's just tough to do.
And sometimes you can have that county hangover when you win that championship because it means so much to the schools in Macoupin County. Sometimes that next game out can be a tough one, and they survived in overtime against Gillespie earlier this week. So that, to me, that's one of those games where you find out a lot about a club. You're coming off of a championship game, great game against a great opponent in North Mac. What do you do following up? And to be able to win a game like that says a lot about Southwestern.
And we forget, number one, you're just high school kids, and number two, they're human beings, and you have a natural letdown. It's the county championship. It's a special thing. It's something that teams in Macoupin County covet.
Yeah.
Very much so. It's only been happening for a mere 99 years.
Not all.
So it's pretty important. And you're right. How do you handle that next game, that next week, in fact? How do you go about handling that? And a lot of times you don't. that's the problem, you know. You let down and you go, oh, geez, where did this come from? Well, we know where it came from. You know,
that's right.
You took yourself, basically you just didn't mentally prepare. So.
How do you deal with success?
And how do you repeat it? Yeah. You know, to climb to the point of success is one thing. To repeat the success, to be mentally tough, is very, very difficult.
It's what they always say about Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. Hard to get there, even harder to stay there.
It is. It is very difficult. And, you know, look at the World Series. How many different teams have won the World Series in recent years? When was the last, who's the last team to repeat? With the Yankees.
Yankees, what, 98, 99? So. Or 99, 2000? Well, they won three in a row there.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Yeah, it was 98 through 2000.
So, I mean, man, that's, and, you know, and they were in 2001 World Series, too, and lost that.
And 03.
To Arizona, so, but it's just so darn difficult in the world of sports to be that mentally tough to make sure. And, you know, you got to have some luck on your side. You got to stay healthy and you've got to have the right personnel at the right time.
So. We've seen Hillsborough deal with that this year, the health issue. You know, they spent, and I wonder if having the closure on Donovan Moore will be good for the Toppers. You know, the first part of the year, they were waiting for him to come back. You knew he was going to come back. He came back. Re-injured his foot. So now you know he's out for the year. So I would think from the Hillsborough perspective, now they can just, for this year, close the book on Donovan. He'll be back with us next year, 100% healthy, hopefully.
Yeah.
But for this year, this is our team.
Yeah.
No more waiting for Donovan to come back and bail us out. This is our club.
Yeah.
We got to roll with it.
And Toppers, you know, they're an aggressive team. They're kind of a fun team to watch. They do a lot of things well. And, they're a team, I think, that's going to be in the mix. I think, like you said, if they can get some help elsewhere in the conference, they could be very well in the mix for the conference.
They've got interchangeable parts. I mean, we know Payton's the point guard and Finsky is their whole player, but there was a sequence last night where Finsky shot a three and Payton went in and got the offensive rebound. Like, it's backward.
Yeah.
But it works.
Yeah.
But it works.
And, you know, and you count on people like Jordan Tekin who maybe doesn't score a whole lot, but he does so many things with the basketball and away from the ball.
Oh, he's always first to dive on the floor for a loose ball.
Yeah. So, you know, they've got a pretty good mix there. And like you said, can they say, okay, this is our team and let's go for it.
Yeah.
So I think they will.
So. I think they will too.
Yeah. So should be a fun team to watch. I'm really interested to see as intriguing as the pairings were for the girls basketball regionals. They were kind of predictable. I think the boys are going to be wild and woolly, and we're going to take a look at that and go, well, okay.
Yeah. Throw it up and play, boys.
Yeah. It's going to be completely wide open. And
Hillsborough will be hosting a regional on the boys' side.
Carlinville will be hosting a regional on the boys' side. So that's good. So
Toppers will be a tough out on their home floor.
Oh, you darn right they will be. Would you want to be a team going into Hillsborough High School?
Not especially.
No, absolutely not.
Nope.
It can be an awful noisy crowd there.
Yes, can. Good crowd last night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So.
They had the cheer clinic last night. So.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and you've got Litchfield Hillsborough girls tonight.
That'll be a big crowd.
And, of course, the Stamp Out Cancer thing. So Hillsborough's going to be buzzing tonight. And,
is this a pink game?
I don't know. A lot of times it is. We'll find out when we get there.
We'll find out when we get there. You'll let us know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll let you know. So,
7:30 tonight, T-Tote has the call of Litchfield Hillsborough Girls live here on FM 106. Of course, we'll stream it online at WSMIRadio.com. If you're in for some punishment this afternoon, the Illini on the Ox, they'll be at Penn State Live, 2:30 on 105.3 The Ox. For David Jenkins and T-Tote, I am Tim Mai. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carthenville, and Greenville. Have a great weekend, everybody.